So have a great time. All right. So the reason I said that this is a very manly, and don't show them the title slide just yet, because I want to just preempt this a little bit. This is a man's message just because it is military in nature. We all love a good action flick, don't we, men? Yes, there's something about that. And so the title of my message is A Conquering Spirit. And let's just take a look at this picture. This is an actual picture from, I believe it's from World War One, and, you know, my boss is here, he'll probably tell me, you know, what era it's from. But it's actually a trench, and there's some people jumping over the trench. But I just felt like it epitomized just the conquering spirit, you know, the spirit of sacrifice. And the reason is because the military warfare that we have in the natural, you know, it mirrors very closely military warfare in the spiritual. Are you guys understanding? You know, before you start a war, you need a lot of intelligence. You know, and then you're going to move into usually one of the phases, early phases, is going to be air superiority. So then you can take the land. Does that make sense? Well, you always need, you know, good intel. That's talking about discernment. And the best intel officer that we have is the Holy Spirit. He speaks to his people. The Bible says he does not do anything before revealing it to his prophets. And then that begins, we begin to make prayer and intercession and declarations in the Spirit. We're having that air superiority. You know, the Bible calls the devil, you know, the prince, you know, of the air. And so we have to take him down. The Bible tells us that we need to pull down strongholds. Okay, those are thoughts and ideas and arguments that the devil tries to put before us. And once that has been sent out, it begins to manifest in the natural. It begins to manifest in the land. It begins to manifest in the where we can visibly see it. Do you understand that? So warfare in the military sense, you know, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. Like I said, it's a very manly message. It's going to bring to light this concept that we need to have a conquering spirit. I believe God is moving us into a phase of conquest. It's interesting that after 40 years of being in the desert, you know, and we just had our 40th anniversary, that God would have us to move into a promised land. And you know what? They still had to go in and defeat. The Bible says 31 kings during Joshua's command. But if you look at chapter 1 in Joshua, it never mentions the enemies. It says you're going to go in there and possess the land. There was no talk about negativity. There was no talk about, oh, is it going to happen? Can we do this? Basically, once God has spoken it, you know, you just need to go and take it. It is going to take some work. It is going to take some, you know, prayer on our knees and sacrifice and letting go of offenses and all kinds of other things that are required. But we need to have a conquering spirit. Are you guys with me so far? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray that it will speak to the core. I believe you've already been saying this. Today you said you want us to be your soldiers. And Father, you're calling out some of the soldiers that were out on the highways and the byways, the prodigals, and you're telling them to come in and lock shoulders with the rest of the body, Lord God. So pray that all of us would come together and receive this word in our spirit that would cause us all to have a conquering spirit. Lord God, a conquering heart in the areas that each of us is calling us to at the emotional level, in the individual level, at the family level, but also at the church level and at the community level, Lord God. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we have come very far in 1 year. Looking over the last year, I think about all the victories the Lord has given us. We've seen growth. We've seen a lot of healing. We've seen a lot of perseverance. And I can say I'm a proud papa as well. Can I say that? A proud papa as a pastor, as seeing what God is doing. You know, so that's definitely a gift to me. But I truly believe that the best is yet to come. This is the hope that I truly live with, that our tomorrow will bring greater glory to the Lord. I have come far, you have come far, and we have come far together. But I want to tell you that there are great conquests ahead on the horizon. Amen. And just as I am saying this, the enemy is wanting to lessen the impact of our ministry. You know, the Bible says that he cannot pluck us from the hand of the Lord. John 10:29 says, my Father, Jesus saying it, who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that great that we can rest in knowing that no one can pluck us from, you know, from the Father's hand? Amen. Hallelujah. God has his eye on us. But the devil will try to rob us of our initiative. Okay, I know that's a military concept. Our time, our aggressiveness, our focus, in order to rob us of our potential. Because we want to bring the greatest glory to the Lord. That is our decision. That is our option. How much glory do we want to bring to God in the process? Amen? So today it is Father's Day, and I want to appeal to the warrior in every man. I want to appeal to that warrior inside of you. Make no mistake, we are in a war. We are in a war. And as I was in prayer, the Lord spoke to me that we should not let down, but that we must remain in a state of conquest. You see in the Bible, it was when people sat back, when they let down, when they got comfortable, when they were just sat there and pondered, look how much I've attained. That's exactly when the enemy had them. Amen. So we need to remain in a conquering spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit has already been speaking that to you, because that's how the Holy Spirit works. Before, as he's speaking it to me, he's dropping some things. He's downloading some things into your heart so that as I speak it, it connects. It confirms something that is telling you, it's time for me to rise up. It's time for me to go to the next level. God has already had us in a spirit of conquest. I can tell you, and I know some people here that can attest to it, there's some conquest going on in our battalion. You know, there's many lives being touched. You know, people are being saved. We've had a Bible study for 3 weeks now at our battalion, and I'm just seeing as these people are coming to me crying and say, thank you for doing this. This is really blessing me. Thank you for continuing to do this. And I'm excited to do it because I'm seeing the change. It took some faith. It took some prayer. We did some air superiority. We spoke it over with some prayer, you know, but eventually God said, move in. And there was some key men that he had me to go after, some HVTs. I know I'm speaking to somebody, some high-value targets that there at the battalion, and the Lord began to pluck them out. Amen? I'm excited today. You can't tell. Woo! So today I want to use Psalm 144 to bring this to light. We're going to read not the whole chapter, it's 15 verses, I'm going to skip around, but I want you to read it in this way, that you're going to see in this chapter war, you're going to see conflict, you're going to see intercession and praise, you're going to see conquest, and you're going to see the spoils of the conquest as we read it, okay? So as you read it, you know, pay attention to these concepts. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war. And this is David who wrote this by the Spirit. And my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. War. Verse 7. Stretch out your hand from above, rescue me and deliver me out of the great waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Conflict. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Intercession and praise. Verse 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars, sculptured in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in the streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. That is the spoils. That is the blessing of God. The blessing of conquest. Amen. We've said it many times. God did not call us to survive. He called us to thrive. And he's wanting to put inside of you the spirit that was in Jesus. The spirit of conquest. It took work. He had to go to the cross. But you know what? He conquered, you know, a whole world for the Father through the cross. Amen. He was a conqueror. He's the Lord of hosts. He's a God of war. A lot of people try to paint him as just the God of peace. Did you guys know that the word shalom, which means peace, doesn't mean that there's absence of war? It's an internal peace. It's a peace knowing that God is in control. You know, the Israelites, or the Israelis this day, they greet each other with shalom. They have, you know, the peace of God. But let me tell you, they're good at warfare. They're very good at warfare. So after the Israelites entered the promised land, God always had one more conquest ahead. Look at Judges chapter 3. So they'd conquered 31 kings. Joshua, you know, has told them, hey, I'm going to die. I'm releasing the nation to you guys. And, you know, that's when he said, hey, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But now it's yours. Take the baton. And look what God says right away in the next book, you know, chronologically, Judges chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now these are the nations which the Lord left, that he may test Israel by them, that is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. This was only so that the generation of the children of Israel may be taught to know war. God left some enemies. 2 weeks ago, we talked about suffering and how God sometimes leads us. Yes, sometimes suffering occurs because of our bad decisions or because of the decisions of people around us, maybe our parents or grandparents. But sometimes it's the Lord. The Bible tells us that the Father led Jesus into the spirit, into the desert, to be tested, to be tempted by the enemy. God leads us into some conquests, into some wars. He wants us to be well skilled at it, in spiritual warfare, in land warfare. Amen? This was only so the generation of the children of Israel may be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. And some of you, as I'm speaking, God is awakening you, the warrior, is awakening you that say, you know what, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take some land from you, some territory the enemy has taken from me a while ago. There are times when a fight seems optional, especially when the fight is somewhere else, right? We're like, well, let them fight it out. But there's some of us who understand that there is no neutral zone. There's no demilitarized zone. If you're stalling, you're losing. The enemy's gaining ground. You have to continue to gain and attain land and territory in the Lord. Amen? You know, and there's so many types of conquests. You know, for some of you, it could be as simple as, you know, conquering my marriage, conquering, you know, my children, conquering, you know, some of my habits. I need to conquer, you know, my mouth. I need to conquer my thoughts, my stinking thinking. I need to conquer, you know, the situation at my office. I need to conquer, you know, and so on and so forth. We're going to conquer BBS. Amen. We're going to conquer, you know, we're going to take some territory, you know, from the enemy as we begin to bring the gospel into some homes that have not heard it before. And the ones that have already heard it, they're going to get solidified. We're constantly conquering and advancing the kingdom. Amen. So we must have fight. We must have grit. We must clench our teeth and take our fight to the enemy. In whatever territory we conquer, we must retain. But we don't fight with emotions. Emotions can help. We don't fight with pure effort, but rather with spiritual weapons under the guidance of our commander, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4. For though we walk in the flesh, listen, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We do spiritual warfare. We go in prayer and worship. We're going to do 24 hours of a prayer vigil. We're going to go in there. And we're going to, God's beginning, sometimes he gives us prophetic words that says, go ahead, I've already done it. And we're like, yeah! You know, so that we know that whatever we walk out that week, it's already been predestined. And families are going to come into the kingdom. And there's no sense in getting all anxious and worked up because God has already done it. That's why he says, do not be anxious about anything. But with thanksgiving and the prayer and supplication, make all your requests known. Hallelujah. I'm still excited. Yes, but the fact is that you need to settle this in your minds and hearts. You and your family are caught in crossfire. The spiritual governs the natural. And if you do not know how to employ spiritual weapons, then you need to learn. It is crucial. It is vital. If you're here, if you're hearing this message, you need to learn how to war, not according to the flesh, which we're good at. We're good at talking behind people's back, complaining, backstabbing, manipulating. But when we say, God, I'm in your control. I'm going to let you fight this one out. And when we trust him, he says, thank you. I was waiting for you to release that to me. Yes. And then he goes in on your behalf. Why? Because he's your father. Because he loves you. And because he had a plan for you. We're just walking out what he'd already ordained. Amen? We're possessing. Edmund Burke, a famous Anglo-Irish statesman and philosopher who lived in the 1700s, he said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." This was true in the 1700s, and it is true today. Just because we cannot see the enemy at times, it doesn't mean demons are not studying you, they're not gathering intel and probing for an area to come and cause pain into your family. But I don't want you to be worried in that sense, because we fight a defeated foe. His days are counted. We know the end of the book. However, we still have to walk out what God has already preordained. We have to fight the good fight of faith, and we need to deny him any access, and in the process bring God the greatest glory. We're in a war, and with every soul saved, with every changed heart, with every family that is made strong, we make a bigger impact in our community. The government can't do from the top down. We need to go from the bottom up. And this to be a grassroots effect. When you begin to impact the people around you, you're advancing the territory. It may seem small, but like Javis, you say, "God, extend my tents." You know, you're influencing, you're impacting, you're making a difference. And sometimes it's a good idea whose time has come, and it begins to permeate. Why? Because it's of the Spirit. In U.S. military doctrine, there are 9 principles of war. Objective, offensive, mass, economy of force, maneuver, unity of command, security, surprise, and simplicity. I'm only going to talk about the first 3 because they're a key to what we're doing. Objective: direct every military operation towards a clearly defined, decisive, and attainable objective. We need to have a clear vision of where we're going. The ultimate military purpose of war is the destruction of the enemy's ability to fight and their will to fight. The Bible says that when Jesus, you know, withheld the temptations of Satan, it says that he left them. You know, the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Another version in the New Living Translation says, "When the people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild." If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You need to find the vision of God for your life. Now, there are many variations of that, but they all involve this: knowing him, every single person here. The vision of God for your life is to know him personally. And second, to have a love relationship with him. A love relationship with him. I know it's hard for us as men to be gooey, but you know what? I've gone very gooey with the Lord. I cry often when I'm with him. Yeah, I want to start crying when I say that. Because he's so good. He is my best friend. The second, offensive. It says in the military doctrine, seize, retain, and exploit the initiative. Offensive action is the most effective and decisive way to attain a clearly defined common objective. Offensive operations are the means by which a military force seizes and holds the initiative while maintaining freedom of action and achieving decisive results. This is fundamentally true, says there, across all levels of war. Once you have your objective, your promised land, then you must go on the offensive. God told Joshua, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." God wants us to move forward into the territory that he has for us. The next concept, mass. Mass the effects of overwhelming combat power at the decisive place and time. Synchronizing all the elements of combat power where they will have the decisive effect on the enemy force in a short period of time is to achieve mass. Massing effects rather than concentrating forces can enable numerically inferior forces to achieve decisive results while limiting exposure to enemy fire. This is talking about unity. As we strategically amass all of our firepower into one thing, we're able to make a bigger impact. If all of us run around doing our own thing, it doesn't have the synergistic effect as all of us coming together. Something happens, you know. If you remember the principle, it's right there in Genesis 13 when they built, you know, the Tower of Babel. Even God said, when these people are together, nothing can stop them. They were not godly people. And even God said, you know, unless I do something, because they're so together, you know, there's something that happens when we stand in unity, especially in the things of the Spirit. Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in harmony. And the last verse of that chapter says, for there he commands his blessing. That's why we've been saying this all along for the last year. Whatever we do, large or small, what? We're going to do it together. We're going to do it together. We're all going to amass all of our prayer into BBS. We're all going to amass all our prayer, you know, into this community. We're going to amass all our prayer into our families. You know, as the Lord has different events for us, you know, whether it's the missions conference or the Festival of the Father of Lights or, you know, all the things that, that we've done this past year, the couples, you know, conference and the couples events, you know, those are great times to conquer, but we all begin to pray about the same things. That's why it's so important that myself and my prayer officer over here, Jim Hostin, I connect with him and I say, hey, this is the focus, you know, for the next season. Let's pray about BBS. Let's pray for this situation, because then he then disseminates to all the prayer teams and say, hey, guys, this is the prayer focus. Amen? And sometimes this warnords, or what do they call them, fragords, and they're coming through, and he's just like, hey guys, we need to pray for this person, we need to pray for that situation, something just happened, and we all step in, and through email, and text, and phone, and we're all praying for the same thing, and all we're doing is we're just lobbing rounds into the spiritual realm, because as we pray together, angels are being released on our behalf. The Lord just said this to me, a cord of three strands cannot be broken. And that's primarily being spoken to couples. Couples need to pray together. When you pray together, you are creating a hedge, you know, a force field over your family that the enemy cannot, you know, penetrate. You need to be in prayer. And it doesn't just work, you know, for married couples, but that is a covenant relationship. It is so important. But all of us, when we come together in a love relationship with one purpose, amazing things happen. Hallelujah. So we have to have a clear objective in our life. Then we must go on the offensive and we must remain focused. Hallelujah. But God is not done, and neither are we. We have to have a conquering heart, a spirit of conquest. Our children, our marriages, and the city are depending on it. Our mindset should be to conquer more and more territory that the enemy has taken from us. And sometimes it was taken from people that came before us, but we must grab it back. Some of it will be in the air relationships, like I said. But eventually all of it impacts our community and our governing bodies. Our God is limitless. Tell the person next to you, our God is limitless. Our God is limitless. The word says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So I have four keys to conquest. So just listen in for a second. First one, you need to have the right objective. And let me just say this. This is so important. As families, as individuals, as a church, we need to have clear objectives of where we're going. We need to be intentional. Psychology tells us that motivation is the number one factor that affects behavior. This means that the why is more important than the what or the how. You can always work on the what or the how as you go along. We need to have the right why. What drives you? On a battalion Bible study, we've been studying the purpose-driven life. And then one of the chapters tells us that there's different things that drive people. Guilt. Resentment and anger. Fear. Materialism. How about this one? need for approval. That is not the right purpose, the right motivation to drive you. These are tough taskmasters. And they keep us from our God-given purpose, which is to know Him once again and to have a law-based relationship with Him. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And you can replace money with any of the things that I just told you. You cannot serve God and guilt, God and anger, God, you know, and all the things that we just read, fear, materialism, need for approval. You cannot. It'll drive you insane. It'll tire you out. But when you begin to focus on Him, and He begins to align, kind of like going to the chiropractor, He begins to align your back. Oh, you feel a pop, and you're like, yes, the sweet spot. And then everything's in alignment. Then everything becomes easier. You can run again. Amen? You just need to come into alignment. You have the right objective. Number two, you need to consecrate your life to Him. Live a life dedicated to the Lord with constant repentance. It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you won't sin. But a life consecrated, which by the way, consecrated means to make sacred, to make holy, to make special, other. Where basically you're saying, I'm putting God in a separate category. He's above everything in my life. And then the other part of it is I'm going to keep my life from sin. I'm going to watch the manner that I walk. And if I do sin, I will go right there and with Him. And you know, Pastor always says we need to, you know, have short accounts. Thank you, short accounts. You need to have short accounts with God. You know, say, oh, let's see, in the last month, God, that doesn't work. It needs to be a daily thing. God, sometimes, in some cases, it could be an hourly, you know, thing. It's like, oh, Lord, I did it again, you know. But you need to live a life of repentance. And every time you repent, you know, from the heart, the Bible says that He washes you. You don't need to carry that anymore. But repentance also means turning away from those things. Be smart about those areas of your life. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, we'll speak to this next 2 points, 2 and 3. It says, and Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. And now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. So as Samuel was offering up the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near. But the Lord thundered. He caused them to be confused. So the first thing, consecration speaks to that part of the lamb, you know, being burnt, you know, on the altar. And that's a direct reference to Jesus. You know, you need to come in through the door. You need to come through Jesus. You cannot come through the door of religion. You need to come through the only door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. And every one of us needs to go through the door of Jesus. And receive that sacrifice that Jesus made, that suckling lamb. John the Baptist called Him the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And receive, you know, that atonement, that payment for your sins at the cross. And there be consecrated to Him. It says the blood was spilled on the altar and it sanctified it. It made it holy. It made it special. So when all of us are being sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, we're being set aside to Him. Amen. So if any of you pray that prayer today, I would love to know about it. So, you know, just come tell me, please. But if you haven't, then we're going to make sure we have that at the end of this message. And I'm getting close. Number three, praise Him in all things, like we just read in this passage. And by the way, not for all things, but in all things. When we're consecrated and praise Him, it brings confusion to the enemy because our focus is on Him. You know, we don't focus on how big the problem is. We focus on how big our God is. And we begin to just speak it out, like David did in that psalm that we read at the beginning. You're my fortress. You know, you're my deliverer. You're my redemptor. Who can stop you? Who is like you? And it says, as we're focusing on Him, God says, I got this, guys. And it begins to bring blindness. In some of the scriptures, we find that blindness came upon the people. And it says that they were so afraid that they began to turn their swords on one another. They began to kill each other. That's what happens to our enemy. And eventually they fleed. Once again, we have to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the promised land says that there were cities vacant. Some of them they did have to fight for, you know, like Jericho and Ai. But there was other cities that it says that this hordeness just drove them out. And they left the place. The wild beasts said, hey, kick them all out. They just walked right in, moved right in. And sometimes it's like that. We got the favor of God is on our lives as we're focusing on him. We're praising him daily. He's confusing our enemies. And we begin to see the blessing of God, you know, in the conquest. And the last one, take courage. And I want to focus on this for just a minute. You got to be bold. You got to be defiant. And you got to be insatiable. What is defiance? We see a lot of people define things now, but most of them are not on the side of God. It is open resistance, it's opposition, non-compliance, insubordination, dissent, subversion, rebellion, not to God and his principles, but to what the enemy has told you is the status quo. What the enemy has told you the lie. In the past you believed it, but now the Holy Spirit has told you, wait a second, no, that's not right. He can't have my family. He can't have my children. He can't have my marriage. He can't have my community. You may have to fight pride at times. You have to, you know, go and humble yourself before people, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Proverbs 28:1-2, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Are you ready to rebel from the status quo? Jesus taught us to pray. We sang it today. May your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If God gives you a vision of something for your family, your church, or the city, you know, which mirrors heaven, then you need to subvert. You need to rebel against the status quo. Don't accept it. So now, when I wake up in the morning, you know, I take spiritual responsibility for this community. Something that I learned from my pastor. So, because I have a clear objective, now things begin to have meaning in my life. Some people are like, oh, I don't know if I can get up and read the Bible. I don't know if I can get up and pray for a little bit. I don't know if I can go to church this week. I don't know if, you know. And we begin to have this lackadaisical. Why? It's because you don't have a clear objective. That's why we said the first principle of war is objective. Once you have that, everything falls into place. Now I know if I don't read the scripture, I won't be fortifying my spirit so that when I get up here to preach, the anointing's not going to flow. If I don't spend time with God in his presence, then I know they're going to tell that I wasn't with him. God told me their hearts will burn. When Peter preached, this is they were struck to the heart. And that's what I preach today, that God would strike you to your heart. That God would burn in your heart. It would cause you to get up and change your behavior and say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm going to revolt against the status quo. I don't want it any longer. I'm ready to move on. So I sacrifice my time and my body because of the price. Why do I endure hardship and suffering, even sometimes rejection? Because it is worth it. Because Jesus is worth it. And Jesus is worthy of his reward. Jesus is worthy of his reward. You are his reward. And the people out there, they're his reward. And we need to bring Jesus' reward to him. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, I'm almost done with this. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you, Caleb was 80 years old. And he told Joshua, Joshua, I need some territory. I know I'm 80 years old, but I still have vigor. Give me a mountain to take, and I will take it. You know? And Joshua said, well, there's that mountain. Go and clear it out. There's some bad guys in there. I'll do it. And he did. Caleb went in there and cleared it out, and that became his land. That wasn't for you, Pastor. No, that wasn't for you. The Lord brought to me the Soldier Creed, which many of you have spoken it before. How many of you were in the military or are in the military? You probably heard these words before. Maybe it's been modified. But listen to this and put it in spiritual terms as I read it. I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live the Army values. I don't know why I'm crying. It's the anointing. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I'm disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior tasks and drills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert and I am a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. I am an American soldier. We have some big wars at the national level, but we have some huge wars, bigger wars at the local level. The status quo is bad. And that's why we need those intel offices. We need the discernment in the community to see that there's a lot of people that are hurting. And you and I are their answer. The people of God. The people of God. Will you stand up with me? Will you take your place in the army? Will you be a soldier today? Are you ready to move on to the things of God? Are you ready to be a conqueror? God made you a victor. We're more than conquerors, says the scripture. More than conquerors. You need to get your identity set in God. The devil's been lying to you and telling you that you're small. There were some of the people who say, oh, the men in the promised land, they're like giants. We cannot take them. But there was a few that said, hold on, that the Spirit of God in them, we can take this. The land is flowing with milk and honey. We need to defy. We need to defy the enemy. Defy. Pastor always says, we cannot lose with the stuff that we use. We cannot lose with the stuff that we use. The spiritual weapons. You've lost some ground in some areas, but that is okay. Remember what Paul said? I made mistakes. I recognize it. But one thing I do, I put it all behind me. I cannot do anything about the past. But now I move forward towards the goal of the price of the heavenly calling. I won that price. I will set my face hard towards the price. I will clench my teeth until I see it happen. Each of you has a vision. I know God's been speaking to you, an area, youth, single women, children, couples, the elderly. These are all very important areas that we need to go and conquer. We're going to sing this song, and I know it's already 12. I appreciate you guys staying. I just really felt this was a message from the Spirit that you needed to hear. God is not done with us yet. Hold on for the ride. Let's sing this.